Thanks, guys. Tim, alcoholic.
Yeah.
That was a moment of silence to get us ready. So we are on page 129, first full paragraph. We're in the second of the three Al-Anon chapters, two wives, family afterwards, and two employers. We left off last week in the big book authors cautioning us of putting too much focus on recouping ourselves financially. And although there'll be a little bit of a cautionary tone about going to the opposite extreme and being spiritually unbalanced, there is not nearly as much of a negative associated with it. In fact, it's encouraged, and the big book authors are telling us, and will tell us again tonight, that it will basically correct itself. The financial, going down that road solely, bad. Going down the road of overboard on spiritual, not so bad. Right? So this is the point it's making. If the family cooperates, Dad will soon see that he is suffering from a distortion of values. He will perceive that his spiritual growth is lopsided, that for an average man like himself, a spiritual life which does not include his family obligations may not be so perfect after all. If the family will appreciate that Dad's current behavior is but a phase of his development, all will be well. In the midst of an understanding and sympathetic family, these vagaries of Dad's spiritual infancy will quickly disappear. Of course, I had to look up vagaries, and I had to look it up in the context, and I always use that same dictionary that I've showed you many, many times, because it's going to give us our definitions based on a 1939 usage. And vagaries is erratic, extravagant, unpredictable behavior. So in the midst of an understanding and sympathetic family, these vagaries of Dad's spiritual infancy will quickly disappear. The opposite may happen should the family condemn and criticize. Dad may feel that for years his drinking has placed him on the wrong side of every argument, but that now he has become a superior person with God on his side. If the family persists in criticism, this fallacy may take a still greater hold on Father. The fallacy of what? That he is a superior person with God on his side. So that falsehood via criticism from the family could get a greater hold, right, of the alcoholic. Instead of treating the family as he should, he may retreat further into himself and feel he has spiritual justification for doing so. Though the family does not fully agree with Dad's spiritual activities, they should let him have his head. Even if he displays a certain amount of neglect and irresponsibility towards the family, it is well to let him go as far as he likes in helping other alcoholics. During those first days of convalescence, and I underline this, this will do more to ensure his sobriety than anything else. It didn't say 126 meetings in 14 days. It said that the helping of other alcoholics will do more to ensure his sobriety than anything else. The number one thing. Though some of his manifestations are alarming and disagreeable, we think Dad will be on a firmer foundation than the man who is placing business or professional success ahead of spiritual development. He will be less likely to drink again, and anything is preferable to that. Those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childishness of it. Always have problem with that one. This dream world has been replaced by two things: a greater sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of a power of God in our lives. So, the two things we get out of this is a great sense of purpose and a conscious contact with our higher power. We have come to believe he would like us to keep our heads in the clouds with him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on earth. That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work must be done. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. One more suggestion. Whether the family has spiritual convictions or not, they may do well to examine the principles by which the alcoholic member is trying to live. They can hardly fail to approve these simple principles, though the head of the house still fails somewhat in practicing them. Nothing will help the man who is off on a spiritual tangent so much as the wife who adopts a sane spiritual program, making a better practical use of it. And you know, I've led our Al-Anon chapters with the statement, I think they're great sponsor fodder. It's great suggestions to the sponsor. Let's read it another way. Nothing will help the sponsee who is off on a spiritual tangent so much as the sponsor who adapts a sane spiritual program, making a better use of it. There will be other profound changes in the household. Liquor incapacitated father for so many years that mother became head of the house. She met these responsibilities gallantly. By force of circumstances, she was often obliged to treat father as a sick or wayward child. Even when he wanted to assert himself, he could not, for his drinking placed him constantly in the wrong. Mother made all the plans and gave the directions. When sober, father usually obeyed. Thus, mother, through no fault of her own, became accustomed to wearing the family trousers. Father, coming suddenly to life again, often begins to assert himself. This means trouble unless the family watches for these tendencies in each other and comes to a friendly agreement about them. Drinking isolates most homes from the outside world. Father may have laid aside for years all normal activities, clubs, civic duties, sports. When he renews interest in such things, a feeling of jealousy may arise. The family may feel they hold a mortgage on Dad, so big that no equity should be left for outsiders. Instead of developing new channels of activity for themselves, mother and children demand that he stay home and make up the deficiency. At the very beginning, the couple ought to frankly face the fact that each will have to yield here and there if the family is going to play an effective part in the new life. Father will necessarily spend much time with other alcoholics, but this activity should be balanced. New acquaintances who know nothing of alcoholism might be made and thoughtful consideration given their needs. So this is now talking about helping others outside of AA. This is practicing these principles in all our affairs. The problems of the community might engage attention. Though the family has no religious connections, they may wish to make contact with or take membership in a religious body. Alcoholics who have derided religious people will be helped by such contacts. So I checked on derided, and it's ridiculed. Alcoholics who have ridiculed religious people will be helped by such contacts. Being possessed of a spiritual experience, the alcoholic will find he has much in common with these people, though he may differ with them on many matters. If he does not argue about religion, he will make new friends and is sure to find new avenues of usefulness and pleasure. He and his family can be a bright spot in such congregations. I kind of like this next sentence. He may bring new hope and new courage to many a priest, minister, or rabbi who gives his all to minister to our troubled world. We intend the foregoing as a helpful suggestion only. So far as we are concerned, there is nothing obligatory about it. As non-denominational people, we cannot make up others' minds for them. Each individual should consult his own conscience. We have been speaking to you of serious, sometimes tragic things. We have been dealing with alcohol in its worst aspect. But we are in a glum lot. If newcomers could see no joy or fun in our existence, they wouldn't want it. We absolutely insist on enjoying life. We try not to indulge in cynicism over the state of the nations, nor do we carry the world's troubles on our shoulders. When we see a man sinking into the mire that is alcoholism, we give him first aid and place what we have at his disposal. So to me, first aid means that we may get the person into a detox, see a doctor, get him to a meeting, whatever that means, that sort of MASH unit stuff. That's the immediate trauma EMT, right? We got to get the person ready to get the message, and that's where we place what we have at his disposal. The steps, the literature, the meetings, the fellowship, that sort of thing. For his sake, we do recount and almost relive the horrors of our past. So that is what? Experience, strength, and hope. Retelling our story, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now, saves people. Right? That's a key recipe. But those of us who have tried, this is cautionary, but those of us who have tried to shoulder the entire burden and trouble of others find we are soon overcome by them. So we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and have been given the power to help others. What have we recovered from? Seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Everybody knows that those in bad health and those who seldom play do not laugh much. So let each family play together or separately as much as their circumstances warrant. We are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. We hear that in the rooms all the time. There it is. That's where it comes from, the text, right? We cannot subscribe to the belief that this life is a vale of tears, though it once was just that for many of us. But it is clear that we made our own misery. God didn't do it. Avoid then the deliberate manufacture of misery. But if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate His, capital H, omnipotence. Now about health. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful health restorative. We who have recovered from serious drinking are miracles of mental health, but we have seen remarkable transformations in our bodies. Hardly one of our crowd now shows any mark of dissipation. Dissipation, loss of health due to excessive drinking. Loss of health due to excessive drinking. But this does not mean that we disregard human health measures. God has abundantly supplied this world with fine doctors, psychologists, and practitioners of various kinds. Do not hesitate to take your health problems to such persons. Most of them give freely of themselves that their fellows may enjoy sound minds and bodies. Try to remember that though God has wrought miracles among us, we should never belittle a good doctor or psychiatrist. Every once in a while we hear that in the rooms, don't we? So this is a good thing to point out. Say, wait, my book says, their services are often indispensable in treating a newcomer and in following his case afterward. One of the many doctors who had the opportunity of reading this book in manuscript form told us that the use of sweets was often helpful. Of course, depending upon a doctor's advice. So don't risk type 2 diabetes, you know what I'm saying? He thought all alcoholics should constantly have chocolate available for its quick energy value at times of fatigue. He added that occasionally in the night, a vague craving arose which would be satisfied by candy. Many of us have noticed a tendency to eat sweets and have found this practice beneficial. A word about sex relations. Alcohol is so sexually stimulating to some men that they may have overindulged. Couples are occasionally dismayed to find that when drinking is stopped, the man tends to be omnipotent. Impotent. Unless the reason is understood. Wow. Unless the reason is understood, there may be an emotional upset. Some of us had this experience only to enjoy in a few months a finer intimacy than ever. Notice it did not say better sex. It said a finer intimacy than ever. There should be no hesitancy in consulting a doctor or psychologist if the condition persists. We do not know of many cases where this difficulty lasted long. The alcoholic may find it hard to reestablish friendly relations with his children. Their young minds were so impressionable while he was drinking. Without saying so, they may cordially hate him for what he has done to them and to their mother. The children are sometimes dominated by a pathetic hardness and cynicism. Sounds like resentment to me. They cannot seem to forgive and forget. This may hang on for months, long after their mother has accepted Dad's new way of living and thinking. In time, they will see that he is a new man, and in their own way, they will let him know it. When this happens, they can be invited to join in morning meditation, and then they can take part in the daily discussion without rancor or bias. From that point on, progress will be rapid. What progress? Building back the relationship with the children. Soon as the child let go of the resentment, right? We just do the next right thing, and in time, they see we're changed people, right? Somebody shared that last week, that like the kids weren't talking to them at all. Marvelous results often follow such a reunion, whether the family goes on a spiritual basis or not. The alcoholic member has to. For those of you who like to count musts in the big book, that's one right there. There's a must. The alcoholic member has to if he would recover. Notice it doesn't say believe in God. Notice it doesn't say that. Go on a spiritual basis. So that can be interpreted a lot of different ways, right? Right? Do Buddhists believe in a God? No, there is no deity. But they would be all about love and service. That's interesting. The others must be convinced of his new status beyond the shadow of a doubt. Seeing is believing to most families who have lived with the drinker. Here is a case in point. One of our friends is a heavy smoker and coffee drinker. There was no doubt he overindulged. Seeing this and meaning to be helpful, his wife commenced to admonish him about it. He admitted he was overdoing these things, but frankly said that he was not ready to stop. His wife is one of those persons who really feels there is something rather sinful about these commodities, so she nagged, and her intolerance finally threw him into a fit of anger. He got drunk. So, of course, here we're talking about Earl Treat, sold himself short, which I think is on page 259 or 260, and he started AA Chicago, soon was followed by Sylvia Kaufman, Keys of the Kingdom. It's the following story in the big book. And she was the first central office, they use that term outside of big cities, but the first intergroup secretary, not GSO, don't confuse the two. She was the first intergroup or central office secretary in Chicago. And Earl Treat sold himself short, and Sylvia Kaufman, Keys of the Kingdom, worked very closely together to establish AA Chicago. So the heavy smoker and coffee drinker is Earl Treat. Page 258, I just saw my note here. Of course our friend was wrong, dead wrong. He had to painfully admit that and mend his spiritual fences. Though he is now a most effective member of Alcoholics Anonymous, he still smokes and drinks coffee. Now here's acceptance, page 417, right? But neither his wife nor anyone else stands in judgment. Acceptance, page 417. She sees she was wrong to make a burning issue out of such a matter when his more serious ailments were being rapidly cured. We have three little mottos which are apropos. Here they are. First things first, live and let live. Easy does it.